Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior, not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you that begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself in situations that you never saw before.
Hello and welcome today to Tippy Talk on the E Factor Show, where we are very, very excited to have a guest return only because everybody loved you so much, and talk about something even more important, or I guess everything is really important, that really is the only way to live life blissfully and peacefully and without any pain. It's the only way to be able to sleep at night, and that's a very, very important topic. David Rees is talking about the teachings that he had learned from William LaPar, which had channeled it through what he called the council, and I'm going to let David explain that. And I'd like to welcome you, David Rees. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Tippy.
And before we go any further, you speak about the teachings from William LaPar that he taught from the council. Do you want to go over it a little bit? I know you explained it before, and explain to people who have not heard you previously explain it.
Yes, the council is a group of spiritual beings, and they say that they come from the highest level of spirituality that is spoken to mankind. And the way that is determined is that they no longer have any ties to the physical world. In other words, they do not exhibit personalities or professions. They say that whatever answers they give to our questions will be based on divine principles, godly principles, and not on their own personal experiences in the earth plane, that they have moved beyond that. Mr. LaPar had the council speak through him for more than four decades. All of the information was recorded on two separate sets of recorders, then transcribed into computers, and we use various methods to cross-check the information, and we can honestly say that over the four decades that the council spoke through Mr. LaPar, we've never found a contradiction, and they've talked about just almost any topic you can imagine, and sometimes in great detail. So we're quite confident that the information we pass on from Mr. LaPar is of high quality and can be useful to people. So that's what we hope to talk about today.
Yes, and it sounds really good, but there is a little question that I have, and you said that those people that call themselves the council that are channeling through William LaPar have moved on from the physical world and are not connected to the physical world in the sense of whatever happens here is not so relevant to them personally. And I'm not sure what
well,
that means.
Well, it is relevant to them, but in other
What I meant is, how does it make a difference? Once someone is not in the physical form, how does it make a difference of how they moved on or they didn't move on? How could they not move on if they're not in the physical form?
Well, because the console says reincarnation does exist. In other words, once we live a physical life, we go over to the other side and we review that life. Did we accomplish what we had set out? Did we grow spiritually in that last lifetime? If we did not, then we must go into the cycle of reincarnation and come back again in another attempt to grow spiritually enough, to accomplish enough that we can move on. Mr. Lepar had a hard time accepting reincarnation because a lot of people don't accept that.
Yes,
but the console says
it
exists.
I totally understand that. Yes, I understand that. What I'm trying to establish is about them channeling through him, how they're different from the other channelers that you said that they're different and they're more accurate. What makes them any different than any other people to channel?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I'll give you an example that they gave us. If you ask any spiritual being how to do something, like construct a light switch, for example, you'll get an answer that will be workable. If you ask them questions of a moral nature, such as, is divorce acceptable? Is abortion acceptable? Those really tough questions. Many, many times those entities who speak through channelers will give you information based on their experiences, their lifetimes in the earth plane. Mr. Lepar's source will only give you the answers based on divine principles, not on what they personally experienced in their lifetimes. That's the difference.
Oh, okay.
So when it comes to the really tough questions, not those simple things like, where is my watch that I lost yesterday, or something like that, but what is right? How should we treat people who harm us? How should we forgive them for that? And if they forgive us, how do we accept those kinds of things? Those are the tough issues. Those are the ones that you really want to know the answers to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we say the console gives high-quality information on those tough topics.
Yeah. Okay, so now I understand that the information that you get is not based on the personal experience of a person, it's based on enlightened teachings and inspired teachings itself.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so that makes sense. So what we're going to be talking about today is the final three steps when you're working on yourself and you're trying to improve your life or actually improving your life and taking all these steps. There are certain steps that you must take sooner or later, and preferably sooner, in order to really be able to be at peace with yourself and just live a blissful life. And those three steps we identified as being, first, the acceptance of what is, accept what it is without trying to manipulate it and change it, because things are the way they are. And if we don't accept it, obviously there's a struggle there, and that you can't live in peace when you're in struggle. And then the second step is forgiveness, which is huge, and I'll let you talk about that too. And that's the two steps to go and enter into the third step, which is peace. And so what we want to know is what they said about that, and I know you found a lot of different things. So let's start with the acceptance.
Well, the first thing that the console gave was an affirmation, and I think this affirmation is, one, it's very simple, and we can apply it to ourselves in what is the most important, which is accepting ourselves, having self-respect for ourselves, regardless of what our life has been, to look at ourselves as a creation of God and to accept ourselves. One of the things that Mr. Lepar often said and the console said is, God doesn't make junk. And since God created each one of us, we should be worthy of our God. And so this affirmation that they gave us was to love yourself. You deserve to be loved. just look in a mirror and say to yourself, I love you. Look directly into your eyes and say, I love you. You're all right. You're not perfect, but you're all right. And the consul followed up by saying, most people will find it very hard to look into a mirror and look into their own eyes and stare themselves out and say, I love you. You're not perfect, but you're okay. And that's where we start. Regardless of what our past has been, regardless of the nasty things we've done or the nasty things that have been done to us, start there.
So that's a very simple and very straightforward affirmation, that the tool, all you need is yourself and the mirror. And then
right.
You look in the mirror and you say, I love you, and really look in the look in the mirror, really mean that, not just say it and run on, but really think about it and really do it. And what happens when you do that, when you try to do it? Because I know you've done it.
Well, that's the key, because the consul has said that the hardest thing we have to do is to learn to love ourselves, not in an egotistical way, but to love ourselves for what we are and where we are, to gain self-esteem, regardless of how poor we are, how difficult our situation is. We need to develop that self-esteem within ourselves. And we can do that by doing simple things, smiling at people, saying hi to people as we walk by them. If you see someone who needs a little hand right now and then to help them, to reach out and do that. That's how we build self-esteem within ourselves, by doing little things. They don't have to be big things, just little things.
Yes,
that builds self-esteem.
And when you build self-esteem, self-respect,
yes.
And then you have a better self-image, then it's easier
yes.
to give that to other people, to make them feel self-respect, self-esteem, and give them a better image, and then kind of pass along
That's
the light. So that makes a lot of sense. So
can you imagine if everybody followed that one simple principle, how wonderful this world would be if everyone did that, every single soul, that simple little principle?
Exactly what the show is about. It's about spreading that ability to understand that we were all made in the image of God, and that when we give someone else something of a positive nature, like love and light, we're actually giving it to ourselves, because we're
absolutely.
All one. And
that's
exactly the goal, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. And it's one of the reasons, if you're listening to this and you like what you hear, don't forget to push that little follow button on top and follow us, so that we can let you know every time we have another show coming up, so that you can enjoy it, every time we have something special. And also, it will give you the ability to ask us questions of what things that you want to hear about, because William LaPointe's teachings are amazing, and we love to share them, and we would love to let you know. And we do plan to bring David back again to talk a little bit more about it. So it's a very simple affirmation that you brought, basically, I love you, which is so simple, we overlook that.
Yeah, but it's the key. It really is the key, because once we learn to love and respect ourselves, then we can see what is to be loved and respected in every other person we meet. And that is really the key then. That eliminates a lot of the hate and destruction in the world.
So when you talk about acceptance, which is what's the first step that we're talking about, you're talking first about accepting yourself and loving yourself for what you are. And then
right.
you can take it further of accepting your situation, accepting other people for what they are, rather than trying to change them. Because if you love yourself unconditionally, then you would love other people unconditionally. And then accepting situations, like, why am I here now doing this and now? And so accept that you're in the right place at the right time. You are divine. And
yes.
What is acceptance not? How can people misunderstand and say, what, so now I'm supposed to accept the fact that this person beats me up every day?
No, No, you're not supposed to accept that. What you do is then you must look for avenues to remove that particular situation. Maybe in a certain case, you have to actually remove yourself from that situation. If you find that nothing of a psychological nature will help that individual, then you have the right to move away from that situation. There are so many people in the world who feel that they have to stay in a particular situation, and that's not the case. You give the person a couple of chances, and on the third strike, they're out. And that goes across the board. No soul has to put up with physical abuse, emotional abuse, abuse of any kind from another individual. You give them an opportunity to prove that they'll do better, but once they cross that line the second and third time and don't do better, then you have a right, a perfect right, spiritually speaking, to deal with that situation in whatever is best for you. Not of course, killing the other person, but you have the right to remove yourself from that situation without any spiritual ramifications.
Right. So acceptance does not mean that you cannot change a situation. Acceptance means that you can open your eyes and look at the situation, and then if it needs to be changed, you can change it. Not other way around. We're like accept it and doomed to live with it because you just accept it the way it is. So that's one thing that
common sense.
Right. So that's one thing that acceptance is not. It's not about just living with the pain. It's about rising above the pain, but in an accepting way.
In a godly way,
situation. Right. I love the situation, so that's why I'm empowered to make it better.
Yes.
So what happens once people accept? Once people accept the situation, what happens to them?
Now, are you talking about a situation that is positive or a situation that is not positive?
Both. Let's take first a situation that is positive, but it could be a situation that is not positive because acceptance is accepting everything, positive and negative.
Yes, but again, with common sense, it's especially concerning the negative aspects of a situation. Let's say you have an illness that is like my wife had, that was there was no cure and that eventually it would take her life. Those around her did everything possible to make her life as comfortable and as happy as possible. We worked with the situation, and by doing that, we also developed happiness within what we were given to deal with. Simply by working on little things to make her happy. We might tell a joke, or we would get movies that we knew she would like to watch. So you deal with whatever situations you have. You hope that they will improve, but you deal with what you have in the best way you can. And the key to that is that if something doesn't go well, you simply pick yourself up and try a different approach. That's how you deal with situations. You keep trying,
looking
for
avenues. Complaining and crying about it and hurting other people because of it. Just pick yourself up and try to do something differently that might change the way you feel, that might change the pain that you might have. So that makes a lot of sense. And so the next step after acceptance would be forgiveness. And forgiveness would come in when you look at the situation, you accept the way it is, and there's something or someone in the situation that hurts you. And actually what you said was that forgiveness starts with self-forgiveness, forgiving yourself.
Yes.
And, right, so how do you start doing that?
Well, that's with the affirmation and with the practicing of good deeds or reaching out to other people, not living in your own little world, isolating yourself. Isolating yourself is self-destructive. Reaching out to other people is how you grow and how you gain in self-respect. And many times, though, when we're talking about forgiveness, many times your reaching out will not be received in the way that you would hope. And that's where forgiveness comes in of the other person. Perhaps you want to help someone and they're nasty towards you. Well, sometimes we have to say, well, perhaps they're just not feeling well, or perhaps I tried to do more than what I should have. We need to look at the situations clearly and understand. And perhaps sometimes we have to forgive the other person for the attitudes and actions that they demonstrate towards us. That's one side of the coin. The other side is when someone does hurt us, can we forgive them? Now, the consul said, if someone harms you and you forgive them, you have the right, though, to use some common sense and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be around that person quite so much, because if that person harms you on more than one occasion, perhaps this isn't the best situation for you. So again, common sense. You have to look at what's going on. Someone harms you and they ask forgiveness and you forgive them. Then they turn around and harm you and ask forgiveness again. Well, the three strikes and you're out rule should apply to that also. You don't
have to.
Well,
what about if they don't ask you for forgiveness and they harm you?
Well, if they don't ask for forgiveness, there's two parts to that. One is that they're going to have to answer for it on the other side, and it will be far more unpleasant when they have to deal with it on the other side than if they just step forward and ask forgiveness here. The second part of that is, if you run into that type of situation, you should use common sense and be somewhat leery of that individual, if at all possible. You don't have to put up with that kind of thing, whether it's in a marriage or it's in a relationship or it's a friendship or it's just somebody you work with.
But how do you forgive them? How do you forgive them? And yes, you don't have to stay in that situation. That makes sense a lot. But how do you forgive someone who doesn't want to be forgiven, who doesn't even care?
Well, you forgive them from your perspective. I forgive that person for being nasty to me, but I will use common sense and try and keep myself from being put into that position again. It is difficult to forgive someone when they are just mean and nasty to you and all of the implications that has. I mean, it can be much worse than just mean and nasty. But you realize what you're dealing with there, that type of individual. Most of the time, it's either a problem that they have. For example, there's certain triggering mechanisms, right? If you criticize someone and they are thin-skinned, you're liable to get it back in spades. But you have to realize that situation, and then perhaps you avoid that. You understand this person's thin-skinned maybe because of something that happened in their life earlier in life. You try and just understand that this is still a child of God. Yes, this child of God may be a little messed up in some areas, but none of us are perfect. That's why that affirmation that I read, I'm okay, I'm not perfect. Well, the other person is okay in some respects, but also not perfect. If you realize that, hey, he's no less perfect than me, or maybe he's a little less perfect than me, but he's still a child of God, then that helps you with the forgiveness. The thing is, we say, okay, we're a spiritual family, but nobody really, really believes that in the physical. But we are. Every single one of us on this earth is related to every other single person on this earth, because we were all created by the same God. And when we get to the other side, our spiritual awareness grows so much that we recognize that. You can recognize thousands and thousands of people as your spiritual brothers and sisters on the other side, but here in the earth plane, it's not so easy to do. But we should try. We should try.
And that's,
so that's how we
really
handle
that. If you are going in that direction, if you are trying, then that's good enough. And
yes,
that's about accepting where you are.
If it's a heartfelt desire, you may hate that son of a gun to the nth degree, but you still have to try and love him for being a creation of God. And if he's in dire need, you should try and reach out and help him. Soon as you're done helping him, you walk away as quick as you can, but at least you showed your godliness that you overcame your dislike for that person to help that person in time of need. Those are the real tests that we get in life.
So let me ask you how to handle a situation which I had to handle, and I didn't like it, and I had a really hard time with it. But I handled it, but I really wanted to see what you learned from the part that you can say about it. My mother married someone who was very, very abusive, but he also had three kids of his own. And then when he died, one of the deals I made with my mom was, do you do this, I do this, and whatever. And one of the things I never expected was for his kids to grow up and name their children after him, because he wasn't the best father for them. He wasn't as abusive towards them as he was toward us. And my sister tells me, she's pregnant and she's sitting right next to me, and she comes out and she tells me, I'm going to name my child after my father. He's my father, and I have an obligation to do that. And I literally saw black. I was like, if your father was Hitler, would you name your child Hitler? You know, does that make any sense? This man destroyed my life, my mother's life, who's your mother too. But it didn't matter what I said, and it didn't matter what I did. She wanted to name her kid after him, and she did. How would you handle that situation? Because I was now in a situation where I have this infant, which I certainly cannot take it out on him, named by the name of the man that did the most damage in my life and my mother's life and all the people that I loved.
The way I would deal with that is to look at the child, not his name, but the child himself. I would ignore the name. If I had to, I might even give him a nickname. In other words, when I called him something, I might even call him by the nickname. But it's the child that's important. Yes, he carries this name, which brings connotations to you of dislike. But it's the child himself. Learn to love the child for the person that he is. And, yes, whatever comes to mind to you to address the child, that's what I would do. If there's a middle name, or if there's some name, something that means something positive to you, that's what I would use. I would definitely do that.
That's a really good idea, because he's a very cute child, but he has a monster's name. And so the thing that I found that I didn't know was, I've worked hard on myself trying to forgive this monster for what he did, and I thought I did until this happened, and my sister approached me, and I felt really like I felt like I was stabbed. I literally felt the pain of being stabbed. And then I realized maybe, because could it be that I did not forgive him and I thought I did?
If you want me to say, give you a direct answer, I would say that's probably true. But it's very difficult when you've lived that to forgive that individual. Were there any good qualities in that individual that you can think about? Were there some? Did you see some?
The only good, the only good thing about him that I can think about is that he's dead.
Oh, like, no.
Yes. And hopefully he's burning in hell. But
I understand. But
other
hopefully,
than that, there was no redeeming qualities. No. There was nothing about him, physical, mental, emotional. There was nothing good about him at all. Zero. And everybody has something good.
What did your mother find attractive about him?
That's a very good question. And I know exactly what it was. But it was an illusion. When he came to her, she didn't know him very well. It was an arranged marriage. And he came to her dressed differently. He was his dress code that she liked, put it this way. And she thought by his dress code that he was a different kind of person. And, that he was going to, and also he brought her to America, which she thought was the land of gold and silver growing on trees.
Yes.
And so the illusion of a romance that started in another country and brought over to supposedly the land of the free was what initially attracted her, and she was excited about him, and yes, she was in love with him. She quickly found out that he was not what she thought he was, and that he basically really tortured her. But at that point, she was kind of stuck in this place, and she had no way out because she had already given him everything she had, all her money. She gave up everything over there, so she couldn't go back home. She was kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So we, being in the middle, you know, and the kids don't have a choice of living if the parents are not. So we were kind of stuck with the situation, and it wasn't just really him being very abusive to us, but it was also us watching him being abusive to her. That was very painful.
Yes. From outsider's perspective, having talked with Mr. LaPar a number of times and knowing what occurs on the other side, I would feel extreme pity for him, because all of that pain and suffering that he gave out to everyone else, he is now experiencing, but the intensity of it is thousands of times more so than what he did here. He is literally in a living hell. He's not gone. He's experiencing those, and he's probably experiencing them over and over again, because he won't accept that he was wrong, that these were ungodly actions. And yet the godliness that still exists inside of him won't let him get away with that. He must accept that what he did to you and your brothers and sisters and to his wife were not acceptable. That's the true pain and suffering. That's one of the main reasons why we fear death, is because when we go to the other side, we must answer for all of the harm that we did to others. All of the
inconsideration. We don't even know why we fear death, but we fear death, and we fear that. But we're talking about forgiveness that I would love to step into. Since he's dead, and I really held myself back, I didn't go dancing on his grave. So I kept it, and I really would love to forgive him. I don't feel the pain anymore of the things that he did. That's not here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have like a dislike of the child's name when I have to say it or be with him, and he's a very cute kid, and right now he's right next door to me, so I see him a lot more. And so I want to be able to step into the forgiveness, and it doesn't really matter what's happening to this man now. He's out of my life for now, and there is a good thing that came out of it, so I'm trying to focus on that. So you basically focus on anything good, like you asked me, anything redeeming quality about him. But now that I think about it, it might not even have to be a redeeming quality about that person. It could be a redeeming quality of a result of what they did. So these are the good things that came out as a result of that pain and suffering in my personal life, because it completely changed me as a person. So that I can focus on that. And I can actually
yes.
thank him for being a monster because of what the result was in my life would have been stuck in a really much different situation if he wouldn't have done what he did. So I can focus
yeah.
on that, which I do.
Those are the keys.
And what?
Yes,
go
those
what?
Will open the doors for you. Those are the keys.
Oh, got it. Those are the keys. And those are the keys to go on. And maybe that's why focusing on that is why I don't feel the pain of that situation anymore.
That's a good point, Tippi. Yes, focus on that child, that beautiful child that has come down the line from that. Yes. Yes, that's a good thought. That's the way to do it. Look for the good in any situation you can find, and especially those that are in the past. And you look at for the good in any situation that you have today, whether it's an illness or poverty or whatever. Those people who have nothing, absolutely nothing of a material nature, still have their godliness within them, and they can offer that to others. That's their treasure. That's the jewels that they have, the beauty that they can offer to others and the opportunity for others to offer to them, to help them. Those
exactly.
who are sick and suffering give us an opportunity to discover our godly nature through helping them. Those people, that's a good point.
Forgiveness is for, right? It's not for the people that are hurting you. It's not for the situations that are hurting you. It's for you. It's for me to be able to live peacefully with myself. So I guess
right.
you know you have forgiven and you really know you have moved on when you don't feel that pain anymore. Because as long as you feel the pain, that means you're still kind of thinking about what happened. And it's always going to be painful until you let that go. So what we talked about today, to wrap it up before we get disconnected, is we talked about accepting the situation and then letting it go. So it's basically really the two sides of the same coin, accepting it for what it is, looking and accepting it, and then forgiving means letting it go, forgiving. Wow, that is such a profound thought that we just kind of smoothly ran into. And then once you do that, once you accept it and forgive it and let it go, that's when you're going to step into that peaceful domain. And that's what you're saying that William LaPar also said, because that's the teachings that you get from a lot of different places.
Yes, yes.
Sounds great. So is there anything that you'd like to kind of wrap it up with, something you want to leave us with that came directly from the teachings?
Okay. Yes. The consul says that each of us has the ability to give out an ounce of love and allow that portion of love to spread through the entire state of creation and return to us tenfold, thereby giving us the ability then to release 10 ounces of love and let it return back to us tenfold again.
Wow, and that's how you can find peace with yourself.
Yes.
And I'm going to quote over here something that the council said, is that the biggest problem that each and every one of us have in our own personal is our own personal acceptance. That's one of the biggest obstacles that we have. So what you have inside of you is what you give out. In other words, what you put out is what you get. And so I'm just directly reading from the quote that you sent me. So when man finds himself hating, and he has hate inside of him, and when you find yourself saying, I don't like this, I don't want this, then it's because you don't like yourself.
Yes.
And that's so profound. And when man can really begin to love himself, and like we discussed, look in the mirror and say, I love you, and truly accept yourself, then you begin to have a life and you can live at peace with yourself and with all the people around you.
Absolutely. That's it exactly, Tippi.
Right. And that's the quote. And that's a great way to end this conversation. And it's been wonderful talking to you again. Really enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy listening as much as I enjoyed having this conversation. And if you do enjoy listening, please don't forget to just follow the button, click right here on top. We will have this archive, so you can come and listen to it anytime. And I'd like to thank you again, David, so much for taking the time to come out and talk about it and share the love that you have so much of. And hopefully we will continue this conversation again, if you're willing to come
back.
Thank
you. Thank you, Tippi.
Thank you so much.
We have come to the end of Tippi Talk tonight on the E Factor Show. My name is Tippi Felsenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E-Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.